United Nations and Pope Francis are in the news again today for collaborating on a revitalized Agenda 21. What does that mean for us? Stay tuned for my interview with Patrick Wood next here on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
It's called the American Dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Patrick M. Wood is the editor of the August Forecast and the August Review. The August Forecast provides a succinct look forward to analyze trends relating to markets, economics, politics, and finance. The August Review is an historical review of global elitism, its players, and policies. As an author and lecturer, Patrick frequently speaks on the research findings related to the Trilateral Commission, technocracy, transhumanism, and scientism, and how these are transforming economics, politics, and religion globally. Here to speak with us today about Agenda 21 and the news that's going global and viral about Pope Francis visiting the United States is Patrick Wood. Welcome back to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Pat.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to be back.
Ran across an article, Pat, that you wrote and was published, I believe, yesterday, entitled The Untimely Demise of Capitalism. And you quote Christina, and I hope that I pronounce her name right, Figueres, who is
That's
the...
correct. Christiana Figueres.
Wow, that was a good guess. She's the executive secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. Now, that's a big, long title that maybe you can explain to us exactly what that means. But she revealed really something that the United Nations has kept very close to the vest, and that is what they're trying to do through sustainable development on a global scale. What's that all about, Pat?
Well, what Christiana Figueres told us in a press conference, I think it was February 3rd of this year, she said very openly, this didn't get reported in the American press, by the way, unfortunately, but are we surprised? No.
Not at all.
But she said publicly, I listened to it. I got the tape of it, and I listened to it myself to make sure that I heard what she said. And what she said was, and I quote, this is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution, close quote.
Wow. That's quite a statement.
There's no way to... this means war.
Yeah.
It's not a war we picked.
Right.
But, you see, we've had in all of the world forever a system of economics that relies on normal supply and demand, relies on a currency of some kind that is, for exchange of goods and services.
Yes.
And in our country, we call it capitalism and free enterprise. There have been other names for it over the millennia, but that's essentially what it is, consenting people exchanging goods and services. Well, the United Nations wants to do away with that concept altogether, and they have been promoting their so-called green economy, which is sustainable development.
Yes.
It's an economic model. It's not a political model. You know, people talk about global governance. Sometimes they say global government. That is a mistake. Government is not the issue. We have a government, but governance means rule by regulation.
Right.
Like in Europe, for instance, they have governance, not government anymore.
Yes.
And so, the system that the United Nations is working is an economic model. People don't understand this, maybe because economics is kind of boring to most people. And admittedly it is. But in this case, if they change the economic development model into their green economy model, then life on planet Earth is going to radically change. Just imagine if we did, if we don't have the current economic system that we have, and things, you know, goods and services are determined by people who are micromanaging the economy. Then your choices go down the tube. You know, the choices you can make on product. The prices will be determined by people who just decide an arbitrary price. Not by supply and demand, you know, not by how much there is in the store on the shelf or whatever, like we have now. There'll be no bargains, no coupons, nothing like that, you know, to get a discount. The things you buy will be purchased on the, based on the amount of energy that went in to make those goods. That's the concept.
Yeah.
That's how they plan to curtail the usage of resources in the world. And that's what they're trying to do. They want to change the production model, and they want to change the consumption model. And their idea is that they can do this based on energy. It's a resource-based economy. Never been tried in the history of the world. They admit that themselves. Christiana Figueres admits that. Never been tried before. It's a utopian system that promises the end of poverty for all, good jobs. It promises dignity, lifelong learning opportunities. You know, it's a utopian. It's a utopian dream.
Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like.
It's offered to the world. But it's, you know, the end of it is not going to be utopia. I just can't tell people, you know, why are you falling for this? It is an absolute scam. They cannot deliver what they're promising to deliver. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And yet the world is just completely fawning over these people, over the United Nations and over sustainable development, and has penetrated our country down to the local level even.
Yes.
It's in every county and every city in America. And nobody saw it coming in. And you just kind of quietly, just kind of, you know, like crabgrass in your lawn. It just kind of grew its way into all of our counties and cities and towns and townships and districts and everything else we have all over our country.
And some of our
also all over the world.
Some of our listeners, Pat, may be wondering if you could give them some examples of Agenda 21's tentacles reaching down into the local level, because I've got a suspicion that, some of our listeners have no idea what that might look like.
Wow. Well, you have a number of different issues that relate to property rights.
Yes.
And land use. That's a big topic with these people because they really don't want property to be in the hands of individuals.
Right.
They want it to be in the hands of what they consider responsible parties. And little people aren't responsible to do the right thing with the property, so what do you need it for? There's a movement across the country to move people out of the rural areas and into cities. That's a big one.
Yes.
And when they come to the cities, there's a zoning type of land use policy all across our country to build smaller and smaller units, to force automobiles off the road, force people into bicycles and light rail and the bus system, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see the walking zones inside of towns now that never had them before, where they're just outlawing, you know, the automobiles altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have the permitting structure for getting new construction built has changed radically in the last 10 years. Anybody who's tried to build a house or something in the last 10 years knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's a,
yes.
It's a regulatory nightmare.
Yes.
To get through that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you have the case of the general plans that are being written by cities and counties. A general plan usually is a document that kind of sets the next 20 years worth of developments on paper, mm-hmm. like a master blueprint, if you will.
Yeah.
And just about every city that I've looked at has some sort of general plan that's been created in the last 5 years. What the citizens don't know is that those general plans are being created with the help of groups that are associated with the United Nations.
Yes.
And they're plugging in, if you will, sustainable development / Agenda 21 policies.
Yes. Yeah. And that's coming
for it. You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already pay the city council, right? You give them a salary to do what they're supposed to do. And then they go out and they pay $200,000 to some consulting firm in another state
mm-hmm.
to write that city's general plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it weren't Agenda 21, there's still a fallacy with that. Wouldn't you want somebody that lives in your community to write your general plan for your city?
Well, and that's one of the...
I would.
that's one of the things. Yeah. One of the issues that we face today as Americans is that we've grown accustomed to just trusting our elected officials at the local level to do the right thing for us. After
right.
all, they're our neighbors, right? So they're going to do the right thing. Unfortunately, there are some folks that have some different ideas about what should be transpiring at a local level, and they're trying to arrange all of the cards to stack the deck, so to speak, so that they can accomplish their purposes. I'm not trying to speak intentionally ambiguous, but this all ties back into to the United Nations Agenda 21 and something that's called the 2030 Agenda. Now, the United Nations Summit for the Adoption of Post-2015 Development, they're going to meet and discuss this on September the 25th. And from my understanding, Pat, and I want you to speak to this for our listeners, is that this meeting that's coming up in September the 25th at the United Nations, they're going to be discussing a binding document that is referred to as the 2030 Agenda, but it lists 17 sustainable development goals and 169 targets by which to achieve them by 2030. What in the world is that?
This is a heartbeat of sustainable development. And that document that you referenced, by the way, is available on the UN website. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It's called sustainabledevelopment.un.org. And people can go there and download the document and read it for themselves. While on one hand they offer, you know, an end of poverty and then, you know, lifelong learning opportunities, the utopian part of it,
yes.
You see the teeth of it, the mm-hmm. teeth of the document.
Yeah.
I call it the devil's teeth.
Yes.
It's a frightening term, and so I don't know if the devil has teeth, but if he did,
it would look like this.
It doesn't say he has teeth in the Bible. I don't know if he does, but if he does, I don't want anything to do with him. But paragraph 28 of this document, says the following. It says, quote, "We commit to making fundamental changes in the way our societies produce and consume goods and services. Governments, international organizations, the business sector, and other non-state actors and individuals must contribute to changing unsustainable consumption and production patterns to move towards more sustainable patterns of consumption and production." See, these are all economic terms, right?
Yes, that's right.
100%.
Yes.
And what they're saying is, you break it down, you know, kind of phrase by phrase, it says, we commit to making fundamental changes in the way that our societies produce and consume goods and services. Okay, when you say fundamental changes,
mm-hmm.
that's fundamental.
Yes, foundational.
It's foundational. It's a cornerstone.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you what that's going to be right here. We just commit to making those fundamental changes.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it says that all these actors here, not only governments, not only the international organizations, not only the business sector, that's the, you know, small business too, and not only what they call them, non-state actors, and also individuals, that's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody must contribute to the changing of unsustainable consumption and production patterns. Now you have to ask, okay, who decides what's unsustainable? You see, who decides how mm-hmm. much is the right amount for you to consume?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't state this, but what they're specifically, they have in other places.
Mm-hmm.
But right here, this tells you somebody's going to be making the decisions for you and me and businesses and our governments, our cities, our counties, and everybody else in between, all the businesses and the people that produce stuff, they're going to be experiencing fundamental changes in the way they work and the way life is.
And I think, Pat, you've referred to those experts, those individuals elsewhere, as technocrats.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they are. As you already know, in my book, Technocracy Rising, I make the case that sustainable development is nothing more than warmed over technocracy from the 1930s.
And that's
it
right.
really is.
Yes, that's right.
They had the same idea back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be scientists and engineers who ran everything.
Yeah.
Not business people, not politicians. They wanted people back then simply to turn over control of the entire country
yes.
to these science engineers to run everything.
That's right.
Talk about insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, America didn't take them up on it. But you know what? When a group of a few hundred people like that stand up and say, we scientists and engineers are just better than everybody else, and you just let us do what we need to do, and you'll be happy with the result. Who on earth would just do that because they declare it so?
Yeah.
It's just inconceivable.
Right. Right.
And yet that's what they did back then. And that's exactly the attitude that the United Nations has
yes.
today
yeah.
with all their phony pseudoscience that they're using for climate change and
yes.
even the justification
mm-hmm.
for sustainable development. There's no real science behind this whatsoever,
right.
especially economic science. There's
right, right.
None.
No, it flies in the face of reason and logic. One other thing I want to make sure our listeners are grasping here, Pat, about what you're saying, is that these technocrats, these scientists and engineers, these are unelected, unaccountable, and pretty much untouchable individuals that have been appointed to these positions. So we have really no recourse to push back or to remove them from the position that they're in of influence, do we?
And so somebody's going to immediately say that well, what about somebody like President Obama? He's elected and he's toeing the line for these people. Well, look at it this way. President Obama is doing what these people tell him to do. I hate to call him an empty suit. It sounds a little disrespectful, but Jimmy Carter was an empty suit, too.
Yeah.
They were both curated, if you will, for the position of president to do what they were told to do. And the person that gave President Obama his climate change policy was a member of the Trilateral Commission by the name of John Podesta.
Mm.
He's currently the chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign, by the way.
Yeah.
But John Podesta attended the first United Nations meeting conference, if you will, that came up with this 2030 agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He left that conference, that was the working group, if you will. He left that conference a couple years ago and immediately went to work for President Obama as a senior advisor. And he single-handedly created the climate change policy that Obama has been drumming to ever since with the EPA and with all of his other, you know, stuff that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And even the New York Times has acknowledged that John Podesta was the guy that gave him the policy.
Yeah.
Now, John Podesta was not elected.
Right.
He was just appointed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will, it represents the shadow behind, you know, what the media shows us.
Yes.
Is going on.
Yeah.
None of this stuff is coming from our president. I don't want to say that he's dumber than a box of rocks, but he doesn't have any background or experience whatsoever to talk sustainable development,
mm-hmm.
to talk economics, or to talk science and engineering. Not one shred of evidence,
yeah.
not one shred of history.
Yeah.
And so all the stuff that he's talking about is coming from people behind the scenes, and they've already made up their mind. That's why I say the president's already bought into the 2030 agenda, because John Podesta told them to.
Mm-hmm.
And Podesta was the guy that was involved in the high-level committee that created the 2030 agenda in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just, it's all there for anybody to see, Mike. That's
yeah.
what's really disturbing. There's no conspiracy theory here whatsoever.
Right.
To have a conspiracy theory, you have to have most of your facts missing from the, you know, from the table.
Right.
And you just guess at stuff. That's what conspiracy means.
Yeah.
You're just guessing at stuff most yeah. of the time.
Yeah.
Well, it has a different connotation, legal sense. But, you know, there's no guesswork here.
Right.
Everything has been documented to the max
mm-hmm.
from known open sources
yeah.
that this is what happened.
Yeah.
Now, and yet people just fly on by like, whoa, doesn't bother me. I don't, you know, life is going to go on and
yeah,
things
yeah.
are going to be great. And after all, the United Nations says that we're all going to have good, dignified jobs from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I love this war on poverty, though, just to digress a second.
Yeah.
It was Lyndon Johnson who declared war on poverty.
Yes.
Back in whenever Lyndon Johnson was around, back in the early 70s, and, or well, the 60s.
And, yeah.
And that really started. You know, everybody thought, wow, that's what we need. That's, yeah, we need to have a war on poverty for all the poor people around the country will get out of, you know, their poor condition, they'll be able to eat better and go to school and all that kind of stuff. You know, for all the hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that have been spent on the war on poverty in America.
Mm-hmm.
America is poorer today than ever before in our history.
Yeah. Yeah.
The super poor class in our country is at record levels right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying living below the poverty level. These are people that are living like on a $2 a day type of a level
mm-hmm.
that the third world lives on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're right here in America.
Yeah.
The war on poverty was a sham.
It was a sham from the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. It sure was.
It didn't do anything that it said it was going to accomplish.
No. 50 years later.
Now they want to do this on a global basis.
Right. Right. Well, that should tell us something.
Insane.
Yeah. It should tell us something immediately. It's just a transfer of wealth, isn't it?
Well, it's more than a transfer of wealth. When it's going to be the destruction of wealth, Mike, and there's a difference here.
Yeah.
We've always looked at the socialist model that Obama has given lip service to, that he's going to redistribute wealth. And
mm-hmm.
certainly there's been a lot of that going on in the last few years where the middle class is getting wiped out and the big corporations and the big banks are getting filthy, stinking rich.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of anecdotal evidence, right? That,
right.
we're balancing the wealth out here for sure. It's a one way street to them.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really at stake here is destroying wealth as we know it today and replacing it with a system that will be controlled by a very few people controlling the world stage.
Yeah.
That's altogether different. It's not just transfer of wealth, it's just the destruction of wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if the United Nations has their way with this new economic system that they're going to implement, as they push capitalism out to the side, there will be no ability to accumulate wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It will be gone.
Yeah.
And already the Agenda 21 document that was produced in 1992 by the Rio de Janeiro World, you know, the Earth Conference back then, the Earth Summit, in that book that they produced, it plainly states that property rights are out the door.
Yeah.
They're just not going to exist in this new system.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you can't own anything.
Right.
It means you can't accumulate wealth. You can't accumulate savings accounts. You can't pass wealth on to your children. That's not just transfer of wealth. That's the destruction of wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You follow the difference?
Yeah, yeah. For about 95% of the world's population, that's the destruction of wealth. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And especially for us. You know, America has still a lot of wealth compared to the rest of the world. But the only reason we have any wealth at all is because of capitalism and free enterprise.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what made us that's what beats us up to be the greatest nation on the planet.
Yeah.
Was our system of economic machinery. You take that away from us, we're going to fall down to the same level that you find in Uganda,
mm-hmm.
or Zambia,
yeah.
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Pat, in the midst of all of...
A bargain for this.
Yeah, yeah. In the midst of all this, though, there's a parallel plot line that's being played out. Pope Francis is coming to America, and he's coming to America. He's arriving on September 23rd, which is 2 days before the UN Sustainability Summit in New York, which, by the way, he will be the keynote speaker. But the day before, this is interesting to me, and I'd like for you to share your thoughts on this. But the day before, on September 24th, Pope Francis is going to address a joint session of Congress. What do you think his message is going to be?
Well, his message is going to be centered around the encyclical that he wrote, I think 2 months ago now it was released,
mm-hmm.
on climate change.
Yeah.
It basically lines up exactly with the United Nations and what they're saying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the whole thing myself. It's interesting that the Pope actually talks about technocracy in the encyclical.
Hmm.
He uses that word like 3 or 4 times.
Hmm.
He uses it out of context and blames the wrong people for being technocrats, but it's just, you know, that's misinformation per se. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, he talks about technocracy and technocrats and stuff, and nobody else has what he has. He just bends the tail on the wrong donkey.
Mm-hmm.
But his encyclical is basically, you know, like a Marxist document that just goes right along with the whole plan of, changing the world economic system.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about social justice. He's talking about economic justice. He's talking about, caring for the planet, for man curtailing its consumption of resources on the planet. And you see, this is diametrically opposed to what we know in the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's only really 2 worldviews here that people need to understand. The Bible very clearly says in Genesis that the world was given to man to dominate and to cultivate. To subdue, David says. And so, what the sustainable development crowd, including the Pope, has done is to turn that around, 180 degrees, and say, no, man's role is not to subdue the earth, it's to care for the earth. In other words, the earth should subdue man, and the earth should limit what man can do. This is just polar opposite to what the Bible says. But are we surprised at that? No. Just about everything these people are doing are diametrically, polar opposite of what the Bible says. But this is a concept. Man is bad. Man has raped the earth. Man is not, man is going to become extinct if it doesn't succumb to being managed by the earth. And the Pope he's bought into that hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. It's just, people don't recognize this unless, you know, this subtlety, unless you're really kind of really interested in what the Bible says about stuff and you think about it. You don't see this. You know, you don't really come to this conclusion, but you know, when you just listen to what they're saying, it's like, wow, they put everything in reverse.
Mm, yeah.
It's just the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Not even close.
So he's going to come to Congress and he's going to give them this message that we all need to get on board with the UN's agenda. And so that'll have the effect of lining up support when it is presented. And the next day he's going to go talk to the UN General Assembly and be the keynote speaker. So it'll be the same message again there, won't it?
It will be a very similar message, I'm sure. But I think it's important to mention or to point out that Congress is going to be hopping mad when Obama signs this politically binding agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's already on the table, by the way. It's been published. They're not going to be discussing any changes to this meeting at all. It's already been decided.
Mm-hmm.
That was decided, by the way, on July 8th by another, you know, panel of United Nations appointed experts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've already put the ice on this thing. So all they're going to do now is just vote on it. You know, here it is. Everybody's together in a general session.
Mm-hmm.
We want you all to sign off on this now. And Obama has already said he's going to sign it.
Well, what happens if he signs it, Pat?
Pen and ink. You know, he said he has a pen and a phone. He's just going to sign it. And you can imagine that Congress is going to flip out when it really hits them what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to flip out. And I personally think the reason the Pope is going to address the joint session of Congress is just to get him to shut up.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't oppose the president on this.
So he's going to run.
You know, this has to be done. For the good of mankind, this has to be done.
So he'll run interference, so to speak, for the United
That's
Nations.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's embedded in that?
Exactly right.
What's embedded in that document for our listeners? The 2030 Sustainable Development Document, it states that member nations are expected to make constitutional amendments and or create adjustments of their institutions in order to implement the goals of this UN document. Now, that's an end run around national sovereignty.
It is. Yes, it's a roadkill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a roadkill.
Yeah.
And I should point out that, you know, making constitutional amendments at this point isn't going to happen. I don't believe Congress is going to pass anything.
I wouldn't think.
But what's going to happen, Obama has already committed to implementing these agendas all by himself by just instructing the appropriate agencies, like the EPA, to create regulations, those aren't laws, to create regulations that will accomplish the 2030 agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it. A priority decision to do it.
Yeah.
And Congress is sitting there wondering, what happened, you know, how, where's the train that hit us?
Mm-hmm.
They're completely impotent in this. Now,
well, yeah, this one needs to get out, apparently, because the enemy's pulling out all the stops trying to keep it from getting finished.
Yes.
Darn. Yeah, so, no, that's not a problem. So, we were just talking about an end around sovereignty, and Obama says he's just going to sign it into existence and then instruct the agencies to just make rules and regulations to implement it.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's done so far. Like, for instance, he announced he's going to destroy the coal industry. That was back when he first took office. And
yeah.
Has he virtually destroyed the coal industry? Yes, he
yes.
has.
Yeah, sure
he
has.
Did it through regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And the regulations were written by technocrats who, you can't touch them. You don't even know who they are.
That's right.
They're buried in the government somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's the head of EPA works for Obama directly. But he gives them marching orders, and he goes down and spreads it all around.
Yes.
And says, here's the objective. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress has no backbone to challenge these people. That's really that's a problem. I believe that they, that constitutionally, they could. But at this point in time, what it would take for Congress to rein in the executive branch would be literally to shut down agencies, like the EPA, just order them to be shut down altogether, and all the regulations they have to be ripped up and thrown out.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Congress were really to get that tough with the president, especially somebody like Obama, it would create a civil war between the executive and Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say that the only way they dislodge these people is to go in, you know, issue warrants for their arrest and go into handcuffs and carry them off.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're not going to go voluntarily.
That's right. No, they're not. They're not. How did we ever get to this place?
Yeah, it's like the frog in the pot of water.
Yeah.
So it's incrementalism.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, you have to say the devil is a good strategist. You got to hand it to him.
Yeah.
For that much. He knows how to make a good strategy. But mm-hmm. he's not going to outwit God, and we can be very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. That's a
but
fact.
But he knows how to strategize these things so that, you know, we're getting cooked and the world is getting transformed
mm-hmm.
for his benefit. And I have to throw this out. From a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective, any Christian who has any interest in Bible prophecy should be watching this stuff like a hawk.
Yes. Yeah.
Because this fits in so perfectly
mm-hmm.
to the system that we see in place during the tribulation period, which may be coming soon, but not yet, but may be coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to ask yourself, kind of play, you know, play the role of the devil for just a minute, if you knew you only had 7 years to have your final war with God,
mm-hmm.
how much time, and you're going to be the world dictator, and you have all the resources of the world to marshal in your final battle against God, how much of that 7 years would you spend creating your infrastructure to organize everything to go against God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A year? 6 months? A month?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. If I were in his shoes, I would not want to spend 1 second creating infrastructure.
Right.
You know, that's mundane stuff. You want to be ready to hit the next line.
Yeah.
When that time starts.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then this whole global system of Agenda 21, sustainable development, which is technocracy,
mm-hmm.
it will end up in a scientific dictatorship.
Yes.
And that's exactly the kind of system run by technology, the exact kind of system that the Antichrist will need to assume in order to, in other words, take over, in order to control everybody on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be accomplished.
Yeah.
And scientific dictatorship is the end result, or it will be the end game, if you will, of sustainable development. Interestingly, there's two books written, Mike, that in historical fiction books. One was Aldous Huxley, mm-hmm. who wrote Brave New World.
Yeah.
We use that phrase. Every week you see that phrase somewhere in the press. Yes. All Brave New World stuff looks like, or it's Orwellian, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Brave New World was written in 1932, and Aldous Huxley was looking straight into the face of technocracy
yes.
when he wrote that book.
Yes, that's right.
He concluded scientific dictatorship straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so when George Orwell came along and wrote 1984, he also was looking at technocracy. And he had the same conclusion. The books are different, but the same conclusion is we're headed for a scientific dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can just say with every you know fiber of my being right now that that's exactly where this is headed.
Yeah.
Scientific dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
where we will be corralled, we will be controlled, we'll be monitored, we'll be tested, punched, stapled, and spindled, you know, all those things.
Right, yeah.
And you will do what they allow you to do, what they tell you to do, and mm-hmm. that's just going to be it. And you'll have no recourse.
Yeah.
And people have a hard time understanding this, but I would challenge anybody listening to the show, go down to your ATM tomorrow and try and take out $500 out of your bank account.
Right.
It's going to tell you, nope, you only get $200 a day.
Yeah.
Or maybe $300 a day.
Mm-hmm.
You pound on the machine and say, give me more. Or maybe you get one transaction, you turn around and you say, okay, I'll just do it twice in a row and I'll get $250 here and $250 there.
Mm-mm.
It'll tell you after you reach your limit, sorry, you can't take out any more. Your limit's been reached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can go inside the bank, pound on the counter there to the teller and say, I want my money out of my account. And the teller's going to tell you the same thing. The teller can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're going to ask the teller, well, just for that, I demand to have my whole savings account right now and I want it in cash. Maybe you got $10,000 in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, well, what do you want it for? You say, it's none of your business, it's my money, give it to me. And they say, no, you're going to have to tell me what you want it for, because we can't just give you that kind of money. You might be a drug launderer, or, you know, a drug money launderer, and how do we know? And in any case, we're going to report you to the feds for having taken this money out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go round and round with that clerk, and in the end, what he's going to tell you is, well, I'm sorry, sir, even if I can give it, I don't have the cash in the bank here to give it to you.
And folks say, well, that's science fiction. That never happens. I can tell you it does happen. And I even have an example of that in reverse, Pat. A friend was purchasing a home, and he had a certain amount of money in the bank, and he stated, well, I'm going to put this much down. And they said, well, you've only got this much in the bank. And he said, yeah, but I've got this much in cash. And they looked at him and said, well, you can't bring that much money in here in cash. We have to report that. And that was the first time he had faced something like that. But your point is well taken. That kind of stuff is going on. So I guess the message for the church, here's what I want our listeners to take away from this. It sounds doom and gloom, for sure, but that's the end of the Bible, folks. You need to get into the scriptures and find out what's happening, because all these Pied Pipers of purpose-driven nonsense that are teaching cotton candy Christianity week after week and encouraging you to stay on the yellow brick road to Oz, they are lying to you and they're misleading you and they are false prophets. They are not God's shepherds. If they were, they would be talking about and teaching end times prophecy, and they would be telling you, here's what we can expect. In the latter days, this is the scenario, but that's not going on. So I appreciate your perspective, Pat, and your expertise in this area. I encourage our listeners to go to the August Forecast, August Review. Would you give those websites for our listeners, Pat?
Sure. AugustForecast.com is my professional blog site, and TechnocracyRising.com is my book site. And as to gloom and doom, I would say to a Christian, if you study your Bible and if you study Bible prophecy, you will cease to be gloom and doom, and you will instead become boom and zoom.
Yeah. I'm going to steal that one, brother. That's
you can. That's a good one. We can do boom and zoom.
Boom and zoom. That's right. Well, and that's a good point. It seems gloom and doom, but really it's the great hope that we all have that Christ is coming again.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so check out Pat's websites, folks, for the update information on what's going on in the markets and the economic forecast, and pick up a copy of his book, Technocracy Rising. It is a great read, and it will get you up to speed in a hurry on all of these different machinations that we're seeing going on today among the global elite. Pat, I appreciate you spending some time with us here on Soaring Eagle again. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
God bless you. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, where you can discuss this episode, and of course, follow us on Twitter, at Soaring Eagle Rad. And listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.micah68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.